ABC Radio News, Washington, a special report. Attorney General Nicholas Katzenbach, who's been immersed in drafting an administration voting rights bill, as well as in the week's developments in Selma, Alabama, is about to hold a news conference. This is Irv Chapman, ABC at the Justice Department, which is itself tight with security today. Police checking credentials of employees and of newsmen, while the White House, a few blocks up Pennsylvania Avenue from here, has been the scene of a surprise sit-in demonstration. The leaders of both parties in the Senate met with Attorney General Katzenbach this morning and reported first steps to agreement on voting legislation. The Attorney General is expected here momentarily. In the meantime, these developments, the sit-in continues at the White House with a hunger strike, the demonstrators vowing to stay all night. They are there at this moment. Here now is Attorney General Nicholas Katzenbach.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a brief statement I would like to make at the outset. The purpose of this press conference is to answer some of the many questions which have been raised about the shocking events of last Sunday in Selma, Alabama, and the role of the federal government with respect to the situation there. As the President said, the fact that nonviolent, peaceful citizens could be set upon in such a shocking manner by law enforcement officials has stunned and angered much of the country. I'd like to tell you what the federal government has done and what we are doing. First, federal government has been active in Selma since 1961 when we filed our first voting case there. Since that time, we have filed four additional cases in connection with the voting problem in Dallas County against Sheriff Clark, other local officials, White Citizens Council, and others who, in our judgment, were interfering with Negroes' rights to vote. As a result of one of those cases, the voting situation has improved in Selma and will continue to improve. In addition to simply filing lawsuits for several weeks, the federal government has had an active presence in the city of Selma in the form of representatives of the Community Relations Service, the Department of Justice, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They have worked extensively with local citizens to improve the climate and, despite Sheriff Clark, and have helped to avert a serious disorder until last Sunday. Secondly, I don't know of any way in which the tragic events of last Sunday could have been reasonably predicted and avoided. Dr. King had made clear his intention to march from Selma to Montgomery. Governor Wallace had made clear his intention to prevent this march on the grounds of public safety and danger on the highways. And while we knew there would be a confrontation, state and local law enforcement officials were prepared for major disorder. We had no reason to believe that local law enforcement officials would set upon nonviolent and peaceful citizens in the way in which they did. On prior occasions, this has not occurred. Even so, we had present on the scene a large number of FBI agents, and the evening before, I had dispatched John Doerr, the head of the Civil Rights Division, to Alabama to coordinate activities of the federal government. Since last Sunday, lawyers and FBI agents have been working around the clock in Alabama to secure evidence of violations of federal law by state and local officials and others. I have no question that federal law was violated. We are going to bring charges against those whom we can identify as violators, and we are going to do so promptly. Third, on Monday afternoon, Dr. King requested the federal court in Montgomery to forbid state and local authorities from interfering with his right to conduct a peaceful march from Selma to Montgomery. That case is now being argued before Judge Johnson at Montgomery, and at the direction of the President, the federal government is fully and forcefully participating in it. I anticipate that it will be decided very promptly. Fourth, on Monday, Dr. King and his supporters determined that another effort to march from Selma to Montgomery would be made on Tuesday. On Tuesday morning, Judge Johnson set down Dr. King's case for a hearing on Thursday and, on his own motion, enjoined the proposed march. Fifth, concerned with the grave dangers of a second confrontation, Officials of the federal government here in Washington remained in close touch with Dr. King and others. Governor Collins, performing the duties under the Civil Rights Act to conciliate, went to Selma at my suggestion and at the President's direction. John Doerr was again on the scene, accompanied by a number of attorneys from the Civil Rights Division and supported by a very large number of agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They worked hard and effectively to prevent a recurrence of Sunday's events. In addition, Tuesday morning, President Johnson made a forceful statement deploring the outrageous events of Sunday and calling upon all to avert a repetition of those events. All of these efforts were successful. The matter is now before the federal court where it belongs. In short, gentlemen, we've sought in every possible way to move bitter and dangerous confrontations off the street and to resolve them in a manner consistent with the Constitution and law. And this has involved the most urgent attention of high officials of the government and others, such as Burke Marshall, the brilliant former head of the Civil Rights Division, who has been with me almost constantly and has been of the greatest assistance. The President has had a deepest and continuing concern, directed me to keep him fully informed with respect to all these matters, and I have consulted him with him and with the Vice President over the past few days, frequently in person and by telephone. Now, what were the alternatives to the federal actions that we have taken? I believe there was only one. The dispatch of troops to Selma to displace local law enforcement and to take over their functions. I'm aware that this course has been urged by some. I have not recommended this course to the President, and I believe that I am right in not doing so. What will occur in the future, I cannot predict. Now, finally, the underlying problem in all of these events has been the right to vote. Weeks before these disturbances which have racked Selma, President Johnson expressed himself unequivocally on this subject in the State of the Union message. We have been working intensively with civil rights groups, with members of both houses of Congress, and both parties to develop legislation which will guarantee this right to every citizen promptly, fairly, and effectively. I'm confident we're going to be successful in this effort. I hope to submit to the President tomorrow a draft of a message on this subject for his consideration and review. Now, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
General, wasn't another alternative there the use of U.S. Marshals?
I don't believe so, for this reason. If one is going to displace local law authority, one has to displace it effectively. There were several hundred local law enforcement officials there. It would have been possible, assuming the decision had been made, to have put as many as 400 to 500 marshals in the city of Selma if we had had about 3 days to do it and assuming that they would not have to remain over 5, 6, or 7 days. Other than that, we simply don't have the resources. And I should point out that the danger of displacing local law authority in that way with only a few people or relatively few people is one that can make the situation worse rather than better.
Attorney General, this is a draft bill on voting rights that you hope to submit to the President tomorrow.
I hope to submit tomorrow a proposed message which will describe in general terms the legislation which the President will submit. I expect that he will send down the message promptly next week. I think both houses are out of session at the moment. And that either that will be accompanied by, or within a matter of 2 or 3 days thereafter, a bill will be submitted to Congress.
Have you touched base
with the traditional civil rights groups in the Senate who have the liberal Republicans and Democrats who have traditionally been the sponsors of civil rights legislation?
Yes, I have touched base with them. In fact, one of my problems has been that with the events in Selma and being down on the Hill, I've simply had a shortage of myself, I guess, in this respect. Mr. Clark has been working on it, Assistant Attorney General Schley, and others. We've been in contact with many people in Congress.
Dirksen today about his bill.
Yes, I met with Senator Dirksen and Senator Mansfield today in Senator Dirksen's office, and we discussed there a number of alternative proposals.
You accept his bill.
I report, sir, that Tuesday's confrontation in Selma was prearranged through your offices and those of Governor Collins. Dr. King said today that Governor Collins told him in advance that nothing would happen if he walked up to the line. Could you tell me just exactly what your role was in avoiding bloodshed and allowing both sides to save faces?
Yes, we talked to both sides, and I should emphasize that there was no agreement at all between Dr. King and any of the state or local authorities. What we attempted to do in that situation, and Governor Collins was active in it, was to attempt to ascertain what in all probability Dr. King was going to do, and then attempt to talk to the local authorities and to persuade them not to repeat the events of Sunday if this kind of activity would be undertaken by Dr. King. And the effort was simply to encourage self-restraint on both sides and to avoid a repetition. But there was no agreement, and all of us here spent a very nervous time when that confrontation occurred.
Governor Wallace prior to Sunday, or any time since?
No.
Senator Dirksen indicated this morning that you had some reservations about the approach that he proposed on the voting rights bill. Could you amplify on that a bit?
I would prefer not to discuss the details of the bill, whether his proposals or our tentative proposals or those of Senator Mansfield or others. I would like to say this. I don't see any substantial disagreement with what we are trying to accomplish. And to the extent that there is any disagreement at all, it is taking one method as against another method among a variety of alternatives.
Well, do you still prefer the voting registrar approach over what Senator Dirksen's formula, this 50%?
Well, there's a lot of similarities between the approaches of Senator Dirksen and ourselves. There's some differences. What I believe is important is that we get a bill that will do it fairly, effectively, automatically, quickly, and simply get this problem out of the way. It seems to me that as in 1963 and 64 with the sit-ins, our objective should be and is to solve the basic cause and reason for the disturbances.
Mr. Kastenbeck, what specific violations of federal law do you believe have taken place, and about how many persons have been involved?
Well, there were a number of sheriff's deputies involved, and perhaps some of the state troopers. The violations would come out of the fact that they used a totally unreasonable amount of force under the circumstances, and did so, in our judgment, for purposes other than normal preserving law and order. In other words, did so in violation of constitutional rights. There's a problem which on that, which is simply a problem of gathering the evidence and relating the evidence to specific individuals. Problems of identification. It would be a violation of Section 242 of the code.
Officials be involved in these violations than privates in the state police?
Yes.
What is how high? 242.
I don't want to get into naming potential defendants.
The governor?
What is second? Did you say how many, sir, that you thought were involved?
I didn't give the figure. I think there were something over 100 that are involved. I don't believe that it's going to be possible in the investigation to link up everybody involved with specific violations.
You said the other day that the governor, you didn't think Governor Wallace had violated any federal statute. Do you still feel that way?
This was, I said that in connection with criminal statutes. And unless unless the governor did things which I'm not familiar with, I do not know of a violation of criminal law by him. I don't.
The government alleged in this petition filed as amicus, the intervenors petition, that the these people acted at the direction under the control of the governor.
Yes.
General, there was a report sometime between Sunday and Tuesday that some steel executives with industry in Alabama had been approached by some high officials in connection with bringing about a type of agreement. Was your department at all familiar with this rumor, or have you heard anything on this report?
There was no possibility no actuality of an agreement. I doubt there was ever any possibility of an agreement as such. We did contact a number of citizens with whom we had been working before in the state of Alabama and urged them to urge the law enforcement officials from the governor on down not to permit a repetition of Tuesday's events.
General, you mentioned the logistical...
Sunday's events.
You mentioned the logistical problems in getting marshals or federal troops
yes.
in there. Do you feel that as of this moment you have legal authority to do so if you wanted to?
The legal authority for using marshals is the same as the legal authority for using troops.
Exist for you at the moment?
The legal authority exists when there's been a total breakdown of law and order within a community. The judgment is largely a factual judgment. I'd like to say beyond that, that while troops have in the past been necessary, or marshals, and they may be necessary in the future, they are never a solution to the problem.
General,
didn't you have a bill ready to go a week ago on voting rights?
No.
A draft bill?
I had a draft bill, but it was not ready to go by any means. We did an initial draft of it longer ago than... What?
What took so long to get a voting rights bill together, General? There were other programs sent up, many others, a stream of them.
There are two reasons for it, I think. Maybe three. Maybe one is because there have been several other things, but we've devoted a good deal of time to this. There are some very difficult questions involving the Constitution in sending up a bill of this kind. And it was our desire, and remains our desire, to see if by consultation with all of the civil rights groups and by members of Congress in both houses and so forth, if we could not achieve a consensus that would make the passage of this bill quick and rapid in Congress. Now, regretfully, that takes time.
General, a question about your reaction to the sit-ins in this building and at the White House. Do you think this is an unhealthy taking the law into one's own hands? What's your personal reaction to it?
Well, these are young people. They feel strongly and deeply about the denial of civil rights. They have strong emotions about it. They want a way of expressing those emotions, and this is the way that they have chosen. With respect to the ones here, I met with the leader for some time. Afterwards, I went out and talked with them, or tried to talk with them. And they felt simply very strongly. They were interested only in, if you adopt my solution, then we'll leave. But if you don't send troops, we're going to sit here. I felt after a while, despite sympathy with the basic reasons why they were demonstrating as they have been, that we had to get along with the business of the department and that it would be preferable if they left.
General, Senator Dirksen said yesterday that he hoped to have a bill on which there is broad agreement ready for introduction by Tuesday. Do you think this is possible?
I can't speak for Senator Dirksen. I hope that it would be possible to have legislation, and I would encourage all members of Congress who feel on this to submit drafts.
Something in which the leadership and the Justice Department would be in agreement.
Senator Dirksen said that. Work hard.
That was before the conference.
I don't. It might be possible. Next week, certainly, yes.
On the matter of police brutality, do you agree with those Republican senators who today introduced
measures carrying out recommendations of the Civil Rights Commission that would make the local authorities, individual officers, and local officials liable to suits by individuals victimized.
I think that's one possible solution to the problem. I haven't studied the particular proposal.
Attorney General, some civil rights leaders and some opposition party leaders have faulted the Johnson administration for dragging its feet on civil rights. As a veteran of crises in the Kennedy administration, I wonder how you compare the two postures of the two presidents.
I think that President Johnson has done everything that any man could do with respect to trying to promote civil rights. I spoke to him immediately after the election. We went over this problem, and he said to me at that time, asked me my views as to what the problems would be and what we ought to do about them, and expressed his own. And at that time, he stated his strong feelings about voting, and at that time I said I thought that was going to be one of the areas of difficulty, because the proposals that President Kennedy had made and President Johnson had reiterated in the 64 Civil Rights Act did not get enacted. And for that reason, I thought we would have to come back for new legislation. In addition, we discussed at that time at some length, and Burke Marshall accompanied me, how to make the poverty program and all of those programs real and effective as part of a larger sense of a civil rights laws, to make sure these programs were used and were effective in retraining Negroes and educating Negroes and finding jobs for Negroes. And it was as a result of those conversations that he asked the Vice President to study the problem, and that the Vice President was given the assignment of making sure that these problems, that these programs were coordinated in that way.
Do you feel that the people in Selma should be permitted to make that march to Montgomery?
I believe this, and the government is arguing this in court today, where John Doerr is presenting the government's case. I believe that the Constitution does protect a right of peaceful demonstration. I also believe that within the Constitution, various requirements can be made on that in the name of public safety and for the convenience and protection of the rights of others. So that it's our position that there is a right to make a peaceful march from Selma to Montgomery, but that it can only be made in ways which do ensure the safety of both the people marching and also of traffic, and keeps traffic open and so forth. In other words, various restrictions of public safety can be made. If, for example, everybody here in this room should decide that we wanted to demonstrate for freedom of the press, we could scarcely go out of here and walk up the four-lane highway to Baltimore hand in hand without expecting that one of the patrolmen would come along and ask us to permit traffic to come through. There are limits and conditions that can constitutionally be imposed upon demonstrations of that kind.
If the court should say that the march should be permitted without police interference, and if the police and the group that worked Sunday should again forcibly try to interfere, what would your position be then?
I think our position would be pretty clear. If the court issues an order, I would hope and believe that order would be complied with. In the event that it wasn't complied with, it would be enforced.
Do you have any feeling, sir, on whether you'll have to break another southern filibuster in the Senate, as was done last year, to get your voting rights through?
It's too early to make a prediction on that. I expect that might be the case.
When you speak in general, is your recommendation that you're going to submit to the president in addition any kind of
there has to be a device which states when the provisions of the law go into effect. I don't believe it would be the particular one that you suggest, but it would be among the various alternatives that are possible are the alternatives of percentages and so forth.
General, what are you recommending to the President regarding the sitting demonstrators in the White House now?
I would prefer to keep my recommendations to the President in that respect to myself. What?
I heard that there are 10 sit-ins still there, 2 who were released.
Yes.
All right, did you say you spoke to those 10?
No, I didn't speak to those 10. I spoke to a group that was sitting in the hall outside my office here.
Oh, well, those 10 are still are in the basement of the White House, and I understand they're not leaving until they see the President and they're staged a hunger strike.
He told me that he was going to march Tuesday. He told me that either Monday night or very early Tuesday morning. We were not in a position to give him assurances and could not and did not do so.
Were those assurances arrived at by negotiations between Collins and local police officials, as said in the Union Post?
I said we could not and did not give him assurances.
Mr. Attorney General, could you elaborate on the federal statutes that you think were violated in the Sunday march?
Well, I think the issue there, and it's a one of proof and evidence, the issue is whether or not this use of force under those circumstances by these police officials against peaceful demonstrators attempting to assert a constitutional right was done in such a way and with the intention of denying them their constitutionally guaranteed rights.
Back to
the
consensus between Northern and Southern Democrats and Republicans and Democrats.
No, it's between Republicans and Democrats.
On this morning's meeting of the Capitol, would you say that you reached substantial agreement on a bill?
I would say we reached a very good agreement upon the objectives.
General, how would you characterize communications between the administration today and Governor Wallace?
Well, I think there's very little in the way of communication between or nothing between the administration and Governor Wallace. Communication with Governor Wallace, to the extent that it exists, is communication with people who may communicate with Governor Wallace.
Sure.
I talked about the activities, for example, with business groups and so forth. Now, these people may well be in touch with the governor.
General, will your recommendations to the President reflect any consensus you reached at this meeting?
Yes.
What are some of the objections to the use of troops?
Some of the objections to it? Well, as I said before, it may be necessary in a particular situation, and it has been in the past, to use troops because, in effect, there isn't any other solution to the problem, any other feasible or workable solution to the problem. I also said that the use of troops is not a solution. It seems to me that it is part of my job as Attorney General to attempt to see that the laws not only of the United States are enforced, but that the Constitution is enforced, and that state and local authorities do their jobs. In other words, as the government's chief law officer, I have obligations to attempt legal and lawful solutions and to attempt those everywhere that I can. The objective has been and will be in places like Selma to attempt to get local officials to do their duty and their obligations under the Constitution. It doesn't achieve that purpose, though again it may be necessary from time to time, but it does not achieve that purpose to do those jobs for them. That purpose is only achieved when they can be persuaded or enjoined or made in some fashion to perform their duties as they should perform them. And that's continuously been our objective. You know, if you displace law enforcement people in Selma, you've got to face the fact that you've got many, many, many places where law enforcement officials may not be doing their job in the way that they should. There are three demonstrations alone today in various places. In general, these demonstrations have been permitted or been tolerated, or when they've been stopped, they at least have not been brutally stopped. And there are solutions, the solutions that we can take through the conciliation service, through legal action, through new legislation to get at the roots of the problem. And those are the solutions which it seems to me are the preferable solutions. Now, I say that recognizing that there have been and there can again be time when you have to use federal authority and presence in the form of troops.
Why wasn't personal persuasion directed at Governor Wallace? General, isn't it normal to deal with governors?
Well, it often is. I think we've had some problems with personal persuasion with Governor Wallace in the past. And it's a question of how best you think you can accomplish the situation. I'm sure that if it had been my judgment that my contacting Governor Wallace would have helped in this situation, I would have contacted him directly. I believe that there might be other people more influential with him and with others than I would be likely to be.
Thank you.
Thank you.